Welcome to Healing with Worth, a podcast dedicated to healthy recovery and instilling hope in the wake of betrayal trauma. We are women who have experienced this intimately and want to offer hope to other women. While we may interview professionals on the show, the content should not be taken as therapeutic advice and is not meant to replace therapeutic healing. If you would like to join one of our free online Worth groups to help with your betrayal trauma, you may find us at healingwithworth.org.
Welcome back to Healing with Worth. We're your hosts, Naomi and Janine, and today we have on our podcast Amy Woolsey, who is a betrayal trauma and divorce coach. She also teaches a Worth YSA course that is offered through Life Changing Services. We've had her on the podcast before, and if you haven't had a chance to listen to her story, she shares part of her story in an episode that we did. I think it was bonus episode number 4. It was called Miracles During Turbulent Times. And that was quite dramatic, I think, to listen to. And then we also had her on episode 20, in which she introduced a phenomenal program, Worth YSA. This is a 12-week class for women 18 and older to learn about how pornography affects relationships and what healthy recovery looks like, what healthy intimacy consists of, warning signs of abuse, red flags in your dating relationship, setting healthy boundaries, and so, so much more. I cannot emphasize enough the great class that this is. So before we begin discussing our topic, I wanted to share a little bit about Amy. Amy had been married for 18 years when she decided to take her 4 children and move to Arizona to be next to her family. And this began her journey of recovery and healing from the abuse and trauma that was present in her marriage and start a new life for her and her children, which included divorce. Amy currently lives in Austin, Texas area, is remarried to her current husband who has 3 children of his own from a previous marriage, and she is thriving in a healthy marital relationship and has agreed to come on the podcast to talk about Big D, divorce.
Oh, thought it was
I know. Part. It's not like a subject that we dream about, you know, needing to talk about in our lives. When we have our little life planned out, divorce is usually not part of that. I don't see very many women planning for divorce. It's just not something that we want to have happen, but there are situations that come up in our lives that necessitate that for whatever reason. So welcome, Amy. We are really appreciative to have you on the podcast to help our listeners maneuver through this big, overwhelming topic.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me again. I love being with y'all.
Thank you. Is there anything that you would like to share with our listeners about yourself before we get to discussing our topic of divorce?
Yes. And this is important for everybody to know. Pizza is my favorite food group.
Oh, mine too.
Me too.
I love it. Well, and I know you're a big baseball fan too, right?
And I am, yes, a huge baseball fan. Kind of obsessed. In fact, literally last night, Scott was, he was in the bedroom. He's like, my gosh, I find baseballs everywhere. And I'm like, isn't it glorious? He was like tripping over them in our room.
Now, he did know this before he married you, right?
Oh, heck to the yes. Oh, yes. Oh yeah. That was like a prerequisite. It's like prenup. There
you go. Awesome.
Yeah.
Great. Well, we know this is a big decision for so many women. Huge, huge decision. There's a lot to unpack here. Let's dive in. I need to tell you this, though, first. I'm not divorced, but I have heard divorce being compared to birthing a child. It's contraction after contraction after contraction until the big push.
Oh,
and then it's a really bit messy funny. To get cleaned up after that. What do you think about that?
My gosh.
Have you heard of that?
No, I hate that. No, because I love my birth stories and I hate it. I absolutely hate a divorce. But yes, it is painful to say the least. Like, that's the point, right? Like, it is so painful. So yeah, I think that's the, and that's why we don't want, that's why we don't talk about it. That's why we don't want to talk about it. That's why we don't want to think about it. You know, you said something earlier that was interesting. Like, yes, we don't go into this relationship thinking that we're going to get divorced. We don't plan for it. However, that's kind of part of the problem, is that I think a lot of women in these situations were never encouraged to develop that healthy independence. They got lots of different messages, right, about what their life is supposed to look like when they get married, especially in a very strict religious culture. And then a lot of times you get the message of divorce isn't an option once you get married, mm-hmm. right? Like once you get married, divorce is off the table. If you think about it, then it's wrong. It's bad. You're, you know, just lots of shame around that. I have found that that's what keeps a lot of women stuck. There's a lot of reasons and we'll go over some of those, but I think that's one of the first ones is that we never gave ourselves the option to begin with. So yeah. If anything I would offer listeners who are in this place of should I stay or should I go, I would ask yourself, have you even given yourself the option to leave? Yeah. You don't have to, but for crying out loud, let yourself have the free agency and know that it is an option. It's an option that's always been available.
Yeah.
And I think starting there and noticing what comes up when your brain is resisting that option is a great place to start with doing some work around. Why can't you even give yourself the option?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
I think that's so true, and especially in the culture that we are familiar with, that is, it's almost seen as a sin or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, it is. I was meeting with a client yesterday, and there's a lot of common thoughts that we think, a lot of women think, that keeps us from making that decision. But one of the big ones is, well, I've always been told that it's wrong. The church doesn't support it, or no one's going to support that, that you're going to be held accountable. You will be held accountable for that. You know, if you break up the family, then you are going to have to stand and account before God. And that's not going to go very well. Like that message gets thrown out at women. And this is what happened with my client. And I can relate to that. And I'll, quite honestly, I kind of believe that this particular phrase is kind of a spiritual abuse one, because I've seen that happen a lot with men using this phrase against their wives who bring up divorce. That's definitely what happened to me. Even after I got divorced, it was still thrown in my face. You're the one that decided this. You're the one that. And I remember one day I just clicked and I went, because I had always been defending myself and trying to, you know, be on the defensive of that statement. And one day it just reversed in my brain and I went, oh, yes, I did. Yes, I did. And yes, I will gladly stand before the Lord and explain why.
Yeah.
Yes, I decided to leave. Like I owned it. I stepped into that ownership and that empowerment. And that was a huge shift for me.
Yeah.
I think we need to put the blame where blame needs to be put. Your husband is the one who caused this.
Yes and no. Yes, you're making this decision and you're in this position because of the choices your spouse has made. However, I would really still encourage anybody who is making the decision to step into that ownership, because that's where you're going to have power. If you can own this decision, then in meaning that I'm aware that I am choosing to not have this experience with this person anymore in a marriage and in life, and I accept that, that puts you in power. That puts you in what I call the agent power mode. That's going to give you power to move forward and rather get stuck. Because when we live in that blame or even shame of making the decision, either one of those areas is where we get stuck. And I see women who are divorced for good reason. They didn't want that anymore, but they're living in either one of those, either blame or shame and self-judgment, and they are having a really hard time moving forward. So I would offer the idea of trying and doing whatever work you need to, and if that's with a coach, to work through the thoughts that are keeping you in either side.
and helping you step into your power while you make that decision.
I love that. I think that is a really powerful idea, because I think so many times we want to say it wasn't my choice, he chose it. And I think even on the other end, they're probably doing the same thing.
Oh yeah.
That's your choice, you're choosing this. Like, they don't want to accept that they are choosing what they are choosing, or that you are choosing what you're choosing. And so I think if we can step into that and say, yep, you're right, I'll just take it. It kind of reminds me of that, like when you're, and this is maybe a little bit outside what we're talking about, but I'm just thinking about the drama triangle. Like, sometimes you have to be okay to be the persecutor, like that somebody is telling you that you are the persecutor. Sometimes you just have to accept that role and just say, okay, not that you are, but be okay with them seeing you as that, you know, and you can walk away from it.
Yes, or change it, right? Anytime we, like that, that's a basic coaching tool, actually, that I use with clients, is helping them get into this place of awareness with acceptance. Then you can step into action and change. But when you're in denial, when you're not aware, you're in denial and you're blaming or shaming, self-judging, then you're not going to take the actions to get the results that you want in your life. And so you're right. It takes some time to wrap your head around, but it's definitely the place that you're going to want to aim for as much as possible to do such a big thing. But yeah, there's lots of phrases like that I noticed keep women from making this decision. It's even like, I find that most women are waiting to feel peace about their decision. And then when they feel peace, that negative emotion will slip in, like fear or anxiety. And now they're thinking that the decision is wrong because that negative emotion just swooped in. And so what I would offer is that you can hold space for both. You can feel peace that you need to move forward, and so much fear. I mean, when I drove out of my driveway in Kentucky with 4 kids and a couple boxes, I knew I needed to get out. I knew I needed to get space, but the fear was crazy high. The anxiety, crazy high. I had both. That didn't make it wrong. And so that's what I would offer to women who are kind of looking for that overwhelming peace feeling to overcome. And then, you know, in the moment that negative emotion or pain swoops in, it's like, oh, must be wrong.
Yeah.
I would challenge that.
Yeah. What might be the determining factors that come into play when determining divorce? You know, how do you know you're ready?
Yeah.
Is there such a thing?
Yes, I do actually think there's such a thing. And I will first say that no one gets to make that decision but you. I know that when we're trying to decide and make that decision, we are asking everyone that we can think of their opinion. And we're trying to gather all kinds of information, but ultimately no one gets the right to make that decision but you. I'm going to break it down really, it's going to seem so simplistic, but go with me on this. So when we get married, we have an idea of what our marriage was going to look like, right? And then it doesn't end up looking that way. A lot of women, our husbands are working recovery, have made it to recovery, and yet they're finding that they just don't like their husbands anymore. Yeah, you might be in recovery, but I don't think I like hanging out with you. I don't really like where your idea of this, of your life is going to go. I'm not really lining, our goals aren't really lining up. Our values are still kind of not really lining up. It's just not jiving. And a lot of women feel like that is asking too much to take that next step and say, I want more. I love, Alana has shared this before, so she's not going to mind me saying that, but I remember her sharing that, you know, Luke was, I think he just got the position of leading Men of Moroni. I think she just got the job of Worth Director. I might be botching that a little bit, but either way, he was doing his work, right? And they were on a walk and she looked at him and she said, you know, it's great that you've done all this work and everything, but I want more. And of course, his first response was like, what? But the dude showed up. And so my point in that is that I want women to know that you have a right to want more out of your relationship. It is your marriage too. And what experience do you want to have in your relationship? What does that look like for you? And if it's not what you want, you have the right to get what you want. Now, I'm not talking about like, okay, I want a taller guy who rides motorcycles and that's what we base our decision off of, right? This is like, you know, we're not having fun. We're not playful. I don't want to be around him. There's no respect. There's no camaraderie. There's no communication. Like, that's miserable. And I don't care what people say. I don't believe for one second that God wants you to stay in that kind of relationship. I don't think for one second that he's saying, sorry, you picked that. No.
Now lie in your grave.
You made your bed, now sleep in it.
Yeah. Nope. I believe that we fought a war for agency for a reason. And we are agents here and we have the gift of creation. We are creators and God gave us power to create our life. He gave us power to create our life and we've got to use the power to do it.
I love that.
So what would you say to women who is thinking that, yes, she wants more in her relationship, but really the prospects, when you get real about the prospects, is that even a possibility?
Meaning like, okay, I'm going to get divorced and I might not get married again?
Yeah. Or there's just not a healthy person out there for me to be in a relationship with.
So then this is just, you know, Amy's opinion, but I would highly recommend no one get divorced because you think that you're going to find someone better.
Right.
I would highly recommend you not get divorced and stay in a marriage because you think there's no one better. I don't think that should be a factor in whether you divorce or not at all. Because if you can't create your own happiness and create your life as a healthy, independent woman without a man, I don't think you're going to have a healthy interdependent relationship. So that for me would not be a factor in the decision to stay or go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great counsel.
So when you're working with women who are contemplating divorce, is there like a step-by-step approach that you use? Is there something that you do to help prepare them or things that they need to focus on?
The biggest thing is helping just to kind of unpack their fears that the brain's offering them. There's so many fears around this decision and we've got to look at them. What happens is that we have all these fears and we hide from them because they're scary and our brain gets stuck there. So really helping women get unstuck in that way, like, okay, let's safely play out this fear. And that's around children. We'll just take that one, right? I'm going to ruin my children's life. My children are going to they're going to be upset. They're going to be mad at me. Like, those are some big fears that women have. So we gotta see that. Let's play that fear out. Okay, what if your kids are mad at you? Let's look at that. What does that look like if your kids are mad at you? And watch what her brain does and watch her talk through that. And it's really cool because ultimately when we play them out, we can see that it's really not that scary. Or we can see that there's options to help us get through that scary. There's resources, or it's not going to be as detrimental as we think. So I spent a lot of time unpacking fears. I had a client come to me today and she was actually like, she's ready to go. Doesn't really have a whole lot of big time fears like a lot of the raw clients do, but she's just like, okay, I'm ready, but now what? Like, okay, now the lawyer thing is making me freak out. Okay, so let's talk through that. And we unpack that fear. And yes, there are steps to take in terms of moving forward with the actual divorce process that we can take just one step at a time to slow it down, not make it look so big and scary. Things that we can do before we let our spouse even know that we're thinking of a divorce, that we can start to be a little bit more emotionally prepared. A lot of women don't know what or how their spouse is going to respond when they lay this out, if they're the one wanting to leave. Women who are in abusive relationships need to be prepared for the partner responding in a, you know, the abuse escalating. So there's some steps that we definitely need to take, safety plans, stuff like that, just depending on the situation.
Yeah, I think fear is definitely a big thing to overcome, especially for a woman, because I think a lot of times, at least in our culture, there's a lot of financial dependency when it comes to this kind of a question and trying to work all those fears through, for sure.
Yeah, children and finances. Why women stay is the fear around those two things. And finances is another one. And I would just, I think I can use my own personal experience as a way to kind of shut down any woman's fears, because like, if I can do it, anyone can do it. I got married at 18, almost 19, but come on, 18. I stopped going to school because I started having babies. That's all I did. And I loved every freaking moment of it. I didn't want to do anything else. And now here I am with four kids needing to provide for them. What the heck am I going to do? And I'm sure I've shared my story with that whole journey before, so I won't go into detail, but I ended up being led to cleaning homes and starting a cleaning company. And yes, that was rigorous work, but it brought in money. I made my own schedule so I could still do mom, and I had plenty of business to survive. I still needed help every once in a while, but I managed and I was working hard to get it done. So when we think about the fear of what are we going to do, I just want you to know, like, anything, you can do anything and make it work. You're more capable, ladies, than you realize. Way more capable than you realize.
Yeah.
Any thoughts about when you're helping women unpack the financial aspect of their lives, what is helpful for them?
Yeah, just to start recognizing, like, okay, let's talk about your fears of money. You know, what are we afraid of regarding money? Are we afraid of not having it? Okay, so let's reframe that. Have you ever made money? Have you ever had a job? You know, yes. Okay, so we know we're capable of working and making money. Okay, so let's start there. I think just, again, really noticing what the brain is offering that woman to keep her stuck. And I love helping women separate the human brain from who they really are. You are not your brain. You are not your brain. You are not your emotions. Who you are is 100% of worth and value no matter what. Who you are is enough right now as you are. Infinitely lovable. Your brain, on the other hand, is going to do what brains do, and that is point out everything that could possibly go wrong because it thinks it's trying to help. So we just need to get really curious about what the human brain is offering, thinking it's being helpful, but it's not doing that great.
It's trying to keep you safe, though.
Trying to keep you, quote, safe. So yeah, we just have to unpack that and get really aware of these thoughts and drop some judgment, some shame. I have some women who've never managed the finances. They'll say, that was his job. He just did it. And I don't know. And how am I going to, I don't know how to pay a bill. I've never paid a bill. How am I going to pay a bill? Okay, let's talk about that. How do we pay a bill? What do you think? Because their brain's going to go, I don't know, right? Anytime I hear that phrase, I don't know, you do know. And so I challenge that. You do know. So tell me what you do know about paying a bill. And sure enough, as she starts talking, she knows how to pay a bill. But her brain just freaked out.
It's almost the fight, flight, freeze kind of scenario. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's unpack shame. You'd mentioned shame as you've been talking about this.
Shame. Yeah.
I mean, because this is something that we kind of have to work through, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And so many.
Yeah, especially in the culture that we likely have grown up in.
Mm-hmm. Really any faith community, right? I mean.
Well, I would even argue not, like, I don't even think we need to throw religion in there. I think that divorce in general is looked down upon as bad, and there's a lot of judgment around. To the point of, oh, you couldn't make that work, huh? You don't have to be even religious to just look at divorce as a failure.
Yeah.
But that's just a thought. I can look at my divorce as a failed marriage, but I choose to think of it differently. And that's, again, stepping into your power, right?
And share with our listeners how you choose to view it.
So I remember thinking that I got it wrong. I got it wrong, and therefore I am afraid to get it wrong again. That's that whole women afraid of, if I do get divorced and I have to do this again, I'm just going to get it wrong again. Okay, so we got to go back. And I had to see that thought right there, that I thought I got it wrong. So I needed to change that thought. And I wanted to believe that I didn't get it wrong. I got it right. With what I knew at the time and where I was at in my life as an 18-year-old brain, I got it right. And plan A didn't go like planned. It didn't go as expected. But that is life. Life is never going to go as expected. So first I decided not to think that I got it wrong. And then my divorce, like I said earlier, once I decided to step into that power of owning that this is what I wanted, I didn't want to have a life experience with an addict and an abuser anymore. I felt pretty confident about that was a great decision for my life and for the lives of my children. And I am okay with the fact that I got a divorce and it was a life-saving divorce.
Yeah. I think when we're in abusive relationships, I think it's most helpful to look at it like that.
Yeah. I made a decision. Anytime we're trying to like vacillate between choices and we're just kind of swinging back and forth, at some point, you got to make a decision and own it.
Yeah.
But it's that fear of getting it wrong, right? Well, what if I get it wrong? What if I get that decision wrong? What if I make a wrong decision? And I'm going to argue again that I don't think you need to worry about getting it wrong. I love to unpack women's brains when they throw that out there. Well, what if I get it wrong? So, okay, what does that mean? All right. So I've heard, well, what if I get divorced and then I regret it? What if I get divorced and then he changes? And now I want him back, right? Okay, well, what if? Let's just play that out. What if you get divorced and he magically changes? Can you get remarried? Sure you can. Sure. What if he remarries someone else and he's now a new man and now she gets to benefit from him? Okay. What if that happens? Let's play that out. What does that feel like? And again, it's bringing women back to their power, what they have control over. I have yet to see this ever play out where a woman gets divorced and the man magically changes into knight in shining armor and they're like, oh, I can't believe I left him. I've never seen that happen. If that's happened, please call me. But I have yet to see that happen.
No, someone else gets to deal with him now, right?
Yeah. And I think it begs the question, like, how are you going to know that he truly has changed? Like, you then are standing on the outside of a relationship, yeah, and you know what that was like when you were in a relationship. You know, there are still probably plenty of things unseen that you don't have a way to even know. Like, it could appear great on the outside, but...
And it might be great. Let's just go with that. Let's say he gets remarried and it might be great. The reason why is because her thoughts about him are different. And that's okay. She can think that his behavior or thought process or value system is fine with her. And that's okay. It's not with you. So own that that isn't okay with you. And it might be okay with another woman. And that's why their marriage is looks on the outside good.
Right. We like to make up stories anyway, right?
If it makes you feel better, I guess.
Our brain's really good at doing that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess I would just ask, is there anything else in this process of decision-making when it comes to should I stay or should I go that we haven't discussed yet?
That's a good question. I think what I would propose is asking yourself, how would I like to feel about this situation? Or what would I rather feel other than fear or dread? Do I want to feel peace? Just kind of flip it around a little bit. You know what your brain is offering to create that emotion, but if I could trust myself to make this decision, what decision would I make? If there was no right or wrong, and I'm the one that gets to decide what's right and wrong, what decision would I make? If I knew I've got my back to get through single motherhood, then what would I do? I love coming from those, asking yourself those questions. It's more abundant mindset, right? Because we're so used to saying, I don't trust myself to make this decision. I'm going to get it wrong. What if I get it wrong? What if God judges me? I just, again, don't believe for one second that something I want to add to this, I'm kind of going backwards a little bit, but women are waiting for God to give them an answer. And my thought to this is, I would challenge you to get really real, but a lot of us are waiting for God to make this decision so that we aren't to blame, that we aren't to blame by our spouse or other people. Because if you can go to someone and say, well, God told me to leave, then it's on God, right? Well, he told me. Because how many people in our circle are questioning our decision or talking us out of it or judging that we're even at this place making the decision when they're like, but he looks so great, or he's recovered, but he's trying so hard. So if we can say, well, God told me, then that kind of gets us out of that accountability and ownership. So I'm going to push back on that really hard and not look to God to make the decision for you. But I would venture to say God's waiting for you to make the decision, and he's going to be with you wherever you land. He is not going to abandon you if you choose to leave. He's not. And again, if you can really do the work around your thought process and say, this isn't the life experience I want to have. I'm not happy. I'm not joyful. And I know that's part of this life. I know that I have a right to that, God. And I'm not feeling this. And I have tried everything. And I just pictured God's face. I pictured standing in front of him. And I'm like, you know what? I don't have all the answers. I can't see into the future. I have no idea if this guy's going to get it together. But I think as of right now, I'm comfortable standing before you and giving you all my reasons why I'm making this decision to leave. And I'm okay with that. And I know that he will support you and be with you wherever you land. Even if you decide to stay in your abusive addict relationship, he will be with you. But I don't think that we should put the decision solely on him. I think that goes against the principle of agency. And I think God's a perfect gentleman. And he's never going to step over you. He's never going to step over you. That's what her husbands did, right?
Thank you. I think that is incredibly powerful. That is something that I think I've heard a lot, is this thing that God hasn't released me. God hasn't released me, you know. And I think something that I've had experience with often is what you were saying there in the end, that God's going to be there no matter what we choose. Mm-hmm. Even if we make a mistake, he's going to be there.
Yes.
Like, that's just who he is.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, one more thing with that. Because I just had this experience last night. I had a lot of just stuff happening in my body. Lots of fears, lots of worries. I was kind of spinning and just feeling a lot of out of control. And I asked for a blessing. And I've done this so many times where I ask for a blessing, or I'm asking to kind of, even in prayer, when I go to God in prayer and I'm kind of expecting him to chastise or condemn or shame or be like, well, now, Amy, look at this. If you could just freaking figure this out, you know, that's kind of what I'm waiting to hear from him or whatever. And I am constantly surprised, and I don't know why I'm continuing to be surprised, but I'm constantly surprised at his response. It is always loving. It is always praising. It is always like so compassionate. And I felt that again last night. And I just because of what you just said, that came to my mind. And I want to just, I guess for lack of a better word, testify that he is never going to condemn. He is always going to show up in love. God is love, right? If you believe that God is love, then the emotion that God feels is love. So when he thinks about you, and if our thoughts create our emotions, when God thinks about you, then the emotion he feels is love every time. it's not going to be disappointment or shame. It's love.
I love that.
Well, thank you, Amy, for joining us today. We are going to have you on again next week, right, to unpack some more things about divorce. But if people want to get in touch with you, where is a good place to do that? Because you help women and coach them through this process, correct?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah. That's what I do. So you can reach me either through, I'm on the Life Changing Services page, I'm on Choose Recovery Services page, or Life Coaching with Amy. .com.
Awesome. Thank you. We're excited to have you back on next week too.
Thanks.
Yes. And we will talk about post-divorce. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for joining us this week on Healing with Worth. Make sure to visit our website, healingwithworth.org, if you would like to enroll in an online therapist-led support group. We'll see you next time.